Hello and welcome to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. I am Quentin Lamar.
I'm Anthony Casella.
And I'm Donnie Hatfield.
And this is a podcast that follows all the exploits and ridiculousness of the Real Housewives franchise. Now, I want to ask you guys, since we're here, it's been about a week and we missed, or it's been National Coming Out Day. So how was everybody's National Coming Out Day this week?
It was good. I didn't do much since I've been out for about 20 years, but...
No, it's been Be Inside Day since March. So I don't know. I'm just kidding.
I guess this is a real uneventful coming out day for everybody this
for
year.
Us,
no barbecues.
Yeah, we're old though.
I want to argue with you, but I can't. Yeah, it's been a while. Like every time National Coming Out Day comes, I have to like remember like how did I even come out? Because it's like it's been so damn long. And I'll never forget though that I came out during Super Bowl Sunday to my father. He was having a Super Bowl party and I told him like an hour before everybody got there.
Oh, set him up. That's like a play.
Yeah.
My mother made me though. My mother, I told my mother first and then she wanted me to tell my father, and I was like visiting home from college and I was on a time restraint and I put it off until Sunday because I was leaving Monday. And that's how it went for me.
That's a good story.
It is.
That's one way to ruin a game for a straight man.
I mean, I assume.
I don't know. I felt like it was like cool because like I did that and he had to like tuck it in and then like greet everybody to like have a party. Like, oh, everything's masculine here. Everything's fine.
I was at the Pennsylvania Thespian Conference. So a little different than a Super Bowl party. And up until then, I like didn't realize I liked boys. There were like signs, obviously, like instead of playing sports or, you know, being athletic at recess, I would bring Happy Meal toys and pretend they were in the Ice Capade. Or like at family karaoke night, I would sing From a Distance by Bette Midler. So there were definitely signs, but I didn't know what the signs pointed to.
We call those pink flags.
Well, there were plenty of them. But then at the conference, there was this boy from another high school and he asked me out. And I was like, oh, sorry, I'm not gay. And then I went back to the hotel and told my friend Elena and told her the story. I was like, I think I do like him. So then the next day when I saw him, I said, wait, I am gay. I am. And then clearly he was not interested. But at this point, I just had to go with it. So then I told everybody.
You got to strike while the iron's hot.
I didn't know.
My story isn't... funny. It's not really funny. It's
it's not sad though, because I don't want to hear that.
No, it's not sad though either. Okay. I've always been me, so I never really kind of pretended to be interested in things that I wasn't, which I think is probably not atypical. I don't know, maybe split down the middle between little gay boys who were growing up pretending to be into sports and then gay boys who are watching like Desperate Housewives with their mom. But anyway, I came out during what I think would have been the summer going into my senior year of college. I mean, by then some friends knew and everything, but I was in the apartment that I think Donnie, we shared with another roommate. Mm. And you all hadn't moved in yet. It was during the summer and I had an internship. So I had tons of time by myself, tons of time to think. I would wake up and go to this internship and come back and was by myself. And I was making my way through probably the second time through the series 6 Feet Under.
Mm.
Like, really heavy themes and like very kind of questioning life stories happening on that show. And there was one night I was like, I'm going to go into the shower and I'm going to come out. And when I come out, I'm going to come out. And I did. And I don't know if I called or texted my mother and I told her I was gay. So that was kind of like my official saying it to someone who just wasn't a friend or someone who maybe didn't officially know.
That's a big deal. Like, I think like for me, I didn't really know what was going on with me. Like I was telling Donnie earlier, I was like, a lot of little gay boys, like, you know, they like a lot of things that are seen as feminine and all that stuff. And for me, it was like, I liked masculine things, but it would just be like, you know, let's take He-Man and G.I. Joe and have them wrestle. You know, it was like that kind of thing. So for me, growing up in like a really, not really anti-gay family, but very, there were no gay people around. I had no idea what was going on with me.
Right.
So I feel that it's different for everybody, but I'm of course happy that I came out. I wouldn't be married if I didn't, I guess.
Not to me.
I'm thankful for that. So that seems like a good place to stop with that. So today's show, we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. We have a guest, Katie Arroyo, who's a very funny comedian that I know. And we're going to be talking about the fights, the fashion, and the fail parades that we saw this week. But first, I want to dig into some stuff in the Bravoverse, specifically. Just off the top of my head, we have Cynthia's wedding for 250 people during a pandemic.
We do. Yeah. Yes.
As required, but photos prove otherwise.
And I read a full interview with Cynthia, like sticking up for her wedding being inside with so many guests before it happened. And she said, like, we're going to have sanitizing stations and masks are required. People are bringing their own and we're supplying them. But every photo I saw, at least one person did not have a mask.
I mean, they wanted those beat faces to be seen, y'all. I mean, come on now.
Well, they were seen. We see you, ladies.
It's tough because, and I know this isn't what this podcast is about, but it's tough when there's not kind of national leadership about these kinds of things. And no one is even, I feel like we're all left hanging. Like we've been doing what we all were supposed to be doing for so long. And then it seems like the conversation nationally went away from COVID in a lot of ways. And people for worse in all circumstances are left to make up their own decisions.
Right.
And I think this is probably a result of that.
I think anybody who's ever worked customer service could have expected this. Anybody with any kind of affiliation or relationship with the public knows that the public should not be making decisions for themselves on the whole.
True.
And so now we have this pandemic where people have been not able to see their loved ones go to funerals and things like that. And we have now a 250 person wedding for Cynthia to get married dressed in nothing. As great as she looked. So I do think there's a really big problem there that we need to get together and come together on.
Yeah, Kelly Dodd got married the same day. And when her wedding is the one that adheres to more guidelines than yours, we might have some issues.
Was it really?
Yeah, hers was like at a winery, social distance, outside. Hmm. Things didn't look great for chill.
51 cent.
Chill, 51 cent, 10, 10, 20, 20. So wait, but we also have to point out, since we're talking about Cynthia's wedding, we have to point out that there was a very noticeable person who was not in attendance at that wedding. And that is one Miss Lanethia Leakes.
Well, I believe she was opening up or hiring bartenders or something for the Lanethia Lounge. And when I say believe, I mean, she posted it that day and said, hiring.
She's like, yeah, I'm not there. I'm doing this.
I mean, it looks great.
I would go to the Lanethia Lounge. I hope to go one day.
We should go and then like go to the Bailey Wine Cellar, just like
make a day of it.
Just take pictures of both and then try to get them to argue on social media.
Yeah. And then we can stop by Candy Sex Dungeon after.
I still want to go to Mark Daly's restaurant in Brooklyn.
Me too.
That's something that's probably a bit more realistic here. So, but there were a lot of people there. We had like, you know, the ATL ladies were there, Giselle, Karen, Charisse from Potomac, the lady sitter.
Like all the who's who of.
This is the who's who of the Real Housewives universe. Like it's like the multiverse. So
when the lady sitter's there.
I heard they didn't film it.
That's what
I thought it was going to be like a crossover event.
Well, originally I heard it was supposed to be the finale and then I heard there were no cameras there. So I don't know what's happening now.
That's disappointing.
So you know people weren't wearing masks.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. So now, of course, talking about this still Cynthia and her wedding, we have to talk about the bachelorette tea.
Oh, my God.
Now, two ATL women had a threesome with a bachelorette stripper for Cynthia's wedding. And, of course, the internet was a buzz trying to figure out who they were. And all the women, one by one, said, it's not me. And so only Tanya and Portia were left not saying anything.
Portia's sick of the hot dog.
She wanted some bun.
Are Portia and the hot dog king not together anymore?
So this week, after all these rumors came out that it was Portia and the threesome, Portia and the hot dog king on separate occasions on social media said, I'm single. And then they showed up to Cynthia's wedding together. So I don't know if they already RSVP'd. So they were just putting in face or what happened. But we're getting mixed messages.
Now, see, I feel like Portia and hot dog may have a very gay relationship. I feel like they, I mean, like, okay, so we have they moved really fast. Mm. There was some cheating early on. Apparently, only one of them thinks that they're committed. Like, literally, I think if you take the baby out of the equation, we all have been in or have known gay men who've been in this exact situation. Like, no commitment, but they're going to weddings together. Like, I don't think that's... We've seen that. We saw that at our wedding.
And that's our celebration of National Coming Out Day, ladies and gentlemen.
It's worth it.
But backtracking a little bit, I do think we need to point out that Tanya came out and said that it was not her, and she'll press charges if the rumors continue.
All right, Candace, these charges. It did surprise me to hear that Tanya is allegedly one of the people involved in the threesome. I don't mean to stereotype, it just surprised me a little bit. I was not surprised to learn Portia was. And that's not good or bad. It is what it is.
Right.
Tanya's Canadian. They freaks up there. That's where all the fake girlfriends or boyfriends come from, because they freaks.
She just wouldn't have been my guess. I would have picked literally anyone else in Atlanta before and I don't mean the show. I mean the city before I picked Tanya.
Yeah, Tanya was not on the top of my list.
I mean, you know what?
I thought it would be Eva. I mean.
Yeah. As long as they all had fun, and for all intents and purposes, it doesn't sound like anyone was hurt. Probably the opposite. So God bless them.
Hot Lana. I feel like it's a very scandalous thing for women, for a bunch of rich women who are like not young, to be caught up in a scandal with sleeping with a stripper at a 50 plus year old woman's wedding.
Yeah. Like, I went to his Instagram to see if he said anything. And so I could see what he looked like. And then I found out I was already following him. I was like, of course I am. I'm the third.
Following him.
Just because he looks good. Why not?
And now I'd like to welcome our esteemed guest, Katie Arroyo, a very hilarious comedian that I happen to know and have worked with. Now, Katie, welcome. This is your first time here at Know That Podcast.
That feels like a very generous intro, but I will take it.
I try to be a generous host.
You know? I like it.
Now, I did Katie's podcast, what was that, like a month ago?
Yeah, I think it was a month ago.
And we had a really good time. It's called Pinky Promise Podcast. Be sure to check it out.
You told us like wild stories, and you told them so casually. Like, so our podcast is all about growing up, and every week we take like a different topic, and we have a guest come on to talk about that topic. And what we've been doing is letting guests like choose their own, because I feel like it's easier for them to have like more stories if they know, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And Quentin's just like, well, let me think about it. My mom wasn't a gang, but like, I don't know if that's what we want to talk about. And we were like, that is of course what we want to talk about.
They're like, you can't do anything else. You have to do that.
Yeah,
like,
we want to hear about your middle school crush.
Yeah, I got to tell some fun stories, and that was a lot of fun. Like, yeah. It was a whole really great experience. So since you owe me now,
yeah.
Now Katie's here.
Now it's your turn to talk about your mom being in a gang. Yeah.
She was in the Irish Mafia. <Uh-oh>. They have to boil hot dogs.
Oh, really? O'Reilly.
That's family specialty. Boiled hot dogs. I can't share with you guys, it's too much flavor.
Okay, so Katie, why don't you tell us about your history with Real Housewives?
Okay, so I have never seen I watched it when it first came out, so like the Orange County ones. Mm-hmm. I knew them, and then I did watch Beverly Hills, and then I watched a little bit of Anna, and then I was trying to be like too cool for school, so I canceled my cable. And then I just watched like the live stream of the courthouse in my town, because that's all that the public TV would show. So, and then my friends let me get some Hulu, but I always forget that I like Real Housewives, so I haven't watched it in like years. And so for this podcast, I thought I would watch one episode, and I have watched the entire season 5. 100% chance I'm going to watch seasons 1 through 4.
So you watched entire season 5 of Potomac. Now,
before
you stopped watching Housewives, what was your favorite franchise?
I think I liked OC because Vicky was a crazy little bitch. Like, I liked those. Those ladies were crazy, and they were so unhappy, and I loved it.
Katie, did you watch during the season where Vicky Nikki and her boyfriend Brooks tried to pretend that he had cancer.
Yes, like she was crazy.
Yeah, that was an incredible.
And then her
season.
Face kept morphing through the season, so it was like she wasn't even Vicky anymore. It was like her villain origin story was like we got to watch it over the seasons of OC.
Yes, because Slade called her Miss Piggy doing stand up.
Yes, yes.
Wow. Yeah, see, that's the good stuff. That's the content that we need.
Yeah, yeah. And then, was it Gretchen on Beverly Hills or was she OC? I
can't OC. Remember.
Okay, yeah.
He was married to Jeff, the elderly man who died of cancer during filming.
Yes.
And then Tamara's son tried to make out with her when Tamara tried to get her, quote, naked wasted at a barbecue.
Yeah, Tamara's like another, Tamara's trying to make out with her and then her son just makes out with her. It was like, those ladies were out of control. I loved it. That was like I liked Atlanta for like 2 minutes, but then I think that was when I quit my cable. So I was like, well, okay, bye. Oh, and I watched.
This is your first time.
I watched New York too. I'm into this a little deeper than I thought.
So all of them except Potomac.
Yeah. All of them except Potomac because it wasn't out yet.
Yeah, I like barely know you guys. How am I going to even barely talk about Joe and Slade?
Gretchen. Joe and Slade, Katie. That is an old school reference.
I know.
She's doing
that's
a deep
season
cut.
1 OC.
Yeah.
Just KMG.
Wow.
Yeah.
So now that you've met the ladies of Potomac for the first time, what is your impression of them as a Real Housewives historian?
Okay,
let's call
so
you what you are.
They're my favorite. I think they're my favorite because they are a little bit crazy, but they're literally like the classiest women. So their fights are like, do you remember New York when, oh my God, what's her name? Who had like the food? Luann would always pretend to be nice to everyone. Like she pretended to be like classy and like above everyone, but secretly she was like
the
super
countess.
Conniving. Yeah. And so she would like never be forthright with people if she didn't like them or if she had a problem with them. She was a little snake.
Yeah.
And so any fight that like was around her or like Ramona, even they were like, Ramona was like the snakiest of the snakes. Those women weren't like confident enough to be like mean to each other to their face. So all of their fights were like, oh, you're just like cunty bitch. Like you're just like sneaky.
Katie is the first guest to drop cunt, which I enjoyed.
But she's our first female guest, so it's allowed. Like, now that it's been said by a woman, now it's
open.
That's the content I wanted. That's why I wanted her here.
The gates to hell have been opened.
You all didn't know what you were getting. I knew what we were getting. I'm here for it.
Oh, all me right. too. I love it.
What a nightmare I am. Whereas Potomac, this is where I was sold on this woman. Because I didn't know, I think I watched episode 10 first, just because I was like, I'll just watch two episodes so I can like catch up, catch on to what's going on, and then I'll watch my episode. But then I ended up watching all of them, so it didn't matter. But Monique and Candace got in that fight, and Karen invited her over to the house. And I loved that she immediately called the other woman and was like, FYI, I'm having her in my house. We're all going to be there and we're going to talk about you. And she was like, I love that. Cause I was like, that is so mature and bold. So like any fighting they do is like actual fighting. It's not just like you were bitchy. Like they weren't like, no one's sneaky. They're all just like, I don't like you because of this.
It's how we need to be.
Okay. So we have to talk about in this latest episode of Potomac, Karen invited everybody to her farm, her family farm in Surrey, Virginia.
I love that. I loved all of
that.
Her whole
country family.
I loved, so I didn't, when I watched that episode, I hadn't seen her very much. I just saw her being like super cool about the fight and just being like, I'm going to still be nice to this person, even though you're mad at them.
Right.
So I didn't know like how much of a diva she was, but it was so funny to watch her make them watch her be in a parade of like three things. It's like, yes, because that is such a move that like every woman would do. Like they'd be like, I'm in a parade. Like it's going to be, you actually can't be in it. Even like no one gives a fuck. Like she could have a donkey in the car with her and it would be fine.
My favorite part. My favorite part about that parade was that they didn't even fully close traffic for it. There was opposite oncoming traffic as she was doing it.
I've been to BLM protests in the suburbs that block traffic better than this parade.
Yeah, we have to be honest about that. That was not a parade.
No.
Larger crowds on my block personally when Santa came down in a fire truck.
Yes. It's like, and then like people were like throwing candy out of cars and I'm like, what?
So great. It was definitely like one of those parades where like you go rent a cabin in the woods that you're supposed to get murdered in, and then they're like, we got a big parade coming up this Sunday, and then you're like, oh, this is gonna be like a whole thing that we do, and it's like two cars and like a piece of cheese and like that's it. And I just love that she was like, oh no, you can't get in the car, you have to watch me.
And of course, Ashley being Ashley, she asked.
Yes.
She of course asked.
Yeah. And then Giselle was like, okay, girl, do you have your Beyonce moment? And I was like, I love that these women call each other out like so cleverly.
It was so, and then like I didn't know that Karen's like name was Wooden.
Me either.
So I was telling Donnie, I was like, I love when I run across, especially her saying like she descended from like slaves who own the land.
Yeah.
I love when I can clearly see how a black family gets their name, like where once they were freed.
Something.
It was like, now I'm a free, I'm not a slave anymore, I'm free. What's your last name? It's like, Wooden.
It's like a... yeah.
Like Jan Brady, like
yeah,
George Glass.
Oh. Like, yeah, it's the escape from slavery version of George Glass. You're
it's
like,
terrible.
Ah, there's trees around me.
It's terrible, but I'm black, so I can laugh at it.
Yeah. I can't. I'm just doing it anyway because I already said cunt.
I mean, so why not?
I did. I thought the parade was cute. It was ridiculous and sad, but it was kind of cute.
It was so cute.
Her
periwinkle suit.
I felt bad because I don't think Ashley and Giselle were the cast members that Karen was supposed to go home with. I remember in a previous episode, right after the fight, I think she was supposed to go home with Monique and Candace. And I think Monique and Candace.
Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, because then she had to cancel going with them. So Giselle and Ashley were like last minute ringers in a sense.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And they were shady and they didn't really give
her the adoration that she wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. They also kind of, I mean, we're super shady, of course, which is just the show. But even during like more of the emotional scenes, they didn't really seem to understand.
Right.
They didn't get their notes for what this was. Whereas I think Monique and Candace, had they been on good terms, yeah, would have been able to help kind of match Karen's
energy
in a sense.
Yeah. They could have.
So I felt for her that way.
Yeah. Like I think the producers thought that that was going to be like an emotional moment. And instead Giselle was like, because do you guys feel like Giselle and Karen are like arch nemesis over who's the team mom?
Oh yeah.
And like yeah, Karen like, is like the cool mom and Giselle's the like sophisticated mom.
I feel like Giselle is a supervillain and like Karen is like the anti-hero.
Yeah.
So it's like
yeah. I don't remember if I've said this on the show before. I think the show made a mistake when it started making Giselle like the queen bee and the one who's kind of like POV we're getting the show from. Because I think as the seasons have gone on, Giselle can be funny, but she's kind of lacking a quality that makes a like a super great Real Housewife, which is being able to laugh at yourself. And I think Karen, well, not to qualify, you know, one more than the other, Karen is like LOL funny.
Right.
Sometimes she's in on it. Most of the time she's not.
She is.
But it's always like a very clean idea that like, oh, this woman in a sense takes herself way too seriously, but also knows how to poke at that.
She like she knows she's full of shit and her husband Ray knows she's full of shit, but he is like, put on your bedazzled sequin blazer, let's go.
Speaking of Ray, how do we feel about how quick Ray was to get rid of her though?
Yeah, I don't like where that's
going.
Like,
gone, bye. Like, and why wasn't Ray invited?
Yeah, he shouldn't wasn't he invited is weird to me.
Ray is giving me Nene's husband's vibe, like, where I'm like, oh, he didn't sign up for this. And they also have a similar look, like same facial hair. And he's just very, like, they just remind me of each other. And I'm like, oh, please don't leave her because you're annoyed at the show.
They're both like old ass black men. Like, you have to keep in mind, these are Ray's twilight years.
Yeah.
And this is when Karen is trying to get lit.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm too old for all that. Like I said before, leave that old black man alone.
Yeah.
Like, he literally remembers not being able to vote.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh my God. He came out of the wood. Like, he is wooden.
Ray just wants to go to Florida.
Yeah. Exactly. No,
I think that's probably long term. I think right now, Ray just wants to take a nap.
Yes. Ray wants the cameras to go away. So he
I think
nap.
It could have been as simple as I just don't think Ray was on the call sheet. I think this was Karen's moment. And a lot of the housewives throughout the cities get them. Erica Jane had one in Beverly Hills a few years ago where two other cast members went home with her. And really, it's the producer's way of getting the audience to see a side of a housewife that maybe the producers are feeling isn't coming through. And this was Karen's chance to do that, to go home. You could meet some of Karen's family, some more of Karen's family.
And her family is so all American and sweet and endearing. And I feel Giselle was too busy. Like, you could see Giselle being like, oh, I want to be annoyed with you, but you're being so sincere right now.
Yeah, I think that Giselle feels like she has to be not the comedic relief, but she has to come in with these sassy Birds. One-liners. Yeah.
And she always doesn't need to. The joke is her outfit.
Yeah. It's true. She always seems
which
like
coat she was wearing.
She always seems like she wants to autopilot on irritated and that it's going to read as funny.
Yeah.
But if you're not aware of the situation you're in, that's not always warranted.
Right. Yeah. True. So we also had Ashley away from Dean for the first time.
I hate that guy.
Sheila,
that's the baby.
Dean's the baby.
Dean's the baby.
Wait, I changed my mind.
Katie.
I hate her husband. I hate
so
Andy.
We can only assume that Dean is gone to his first strip show.
Andy. Just to be clear, guys, I loved Cobra Kai so much, and we talked about it on the podcast, and I called the main character Ralphie. And they were like, do you mean, oh my God, now I don't remember his fucking name. Like, do you mean Daniel, like the main character of Karate Kid, Daniel. I called him Ralphie.
His name is Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, that's what my boyfriend goes, Katie, the fucking actor's name is Ralph. And I was like, yeah, Ralphie. I'm like, it's Daniel's son. So I am just impressed that I'm remembering any housewife's name.
Yeah, as long as you remember
this is her first time leaving the baby alone.
Yes, and you know he did not want that. And you know he had like 10 nannies at the house. Like, he's a guy who babysits
or Manny's.
His kid. There's a
that's
finger.
What it sounds like. They brought
baby oil and gun oil.
There was nannies everywhere, or Dean has gone to his first strip club.
Yeah. Oh, there was so many fingers in
first are good with babies, though.
Yeah, probably. That was probably the best care he got that he was going to get without Ashley being there.
Yeah. That's true.
That husband. True. He's like, in the other episode when they went to the lake house and she's like, I think you should take him because it's your job. And I'm like, you're literally going to do nothing but jerk off all weekend.
Or jerk someone off.
Speaking of jerking off all weekend, we should talk about Juan Dixon and Robin.
Yeah.
And how I feel like collectively we all saw our siblings try to do role play.
It was
watching my sister like try to do role play with her husband. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Her alter ego from Lavia?
You could tell she didn't.
Her dime store Morticia look. That was tough.
Yeah.
The tag was still on her coat.
Yes.
The coat was from Lavia.
She's right? I'm returning this. I owe $90,000 in taxes. Yeah.
And that's what I don't understand. Why go through the trouble to role play in a public space to bring up your tax problem? Like, oh, I'm going to go and turn him on. And then, oh, yeah, by the way.
Remember that huge bill I wrote?
It was weird. It was like the producers asked them to do it and they didn't want to do it, but they weren't brave enough to say, we're not going to do this. So they just did it. And that's what we got.
Yeah. And it was also, very. Yeah, she should have been worse or better. But like whatever this was in the middle, I did not like.
It was just
like,
awkward.
Yeah, yeah, like I was like, it was, guys.
It was that Sam, like, it's like, show me a beautiful woman and I'll show you a wand that doesn't want to fuck. Like, that's basically.
And I love Robin. I really like her. She's cool. But I was like,
I used to like her.
Till this.
I like that she stayed awake long enough to get into that costume and go to the bar.
Barely. Her eyes were like closed. Like he was like, where are you from? And it was like, she never thought of it. I'm like, bitch, that's the first question in a role play.
Like, she's from Latvia.
Yeah. Oh,
Robin's sleepy.
I love that Robin.
Like the singer Robin too.
She said that. Her DNA says that she was 56% European, and I think that's very obvious when you look at Robin.
Yeah,
but her voice is 1000% African American, so yeah. Every time she speaks, it's like such a contradiction to me. So for her to even attempt to do, like, even Scarlett Johansson knew that she couldn't do an accent in Marvel movies. Like, she should have known.
Yeah,
I didn't mean even like Scarlett has any talent here, but.
No, but she knows. She knows her limitations, and Robin.
She should have known that she should not be trying to be some woman from Latvia. I know that Robin Dixon cannot point Latvia out on a map.
Yeah. Also, like, what are you being? A vampire? Like, what's the role? And then I'm like, you're going to tell me of all your friends, no one has a nice lace front wig that you could borrow? Like,
not a vampire.
I would have liked to see a blonde wig. Something something super blonde and long.
She could have pink hair.
I don't care what color hair. It was, as long as it wasn't from Party City. That's where she lost me.
It was. I was like, I have that wig in a trunk in my garage. Like
it was like Adam's. It looks like
it
might have
been that wig.
Yeah. Yeah.
She should keep it for Halloween. She could be a vampire with bad credit.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And then when the hypocrisy of it, because she was quick to point out Karen's tax problems and ask her questions.
Oh, yeah, I saw that flashback.
That's what Candace got points in my book this episode when she called her out for it. I mean, in an interview, but.
Yeah. Still, but somebody still, she'll see it later.
Yeah, it'll be talked about at the reunion.
Yeah.
So now I guess we should talk about Candace, because we're not talking about Wendy. So we can talk about Candace.
Why? Wendy's talking about Wendy.
Wendy's talking about, like, less than a minute into that episode, and she literally said the words, my job. I'm like, oh, God. So,
which, Candace, it's a good job. But.
I mean, good that she doesn't want.
Yeah. You know,
when you're talking about her.
Okay, we'll move on.
Go ahead. Candace is crying because. Yeah. She got her ass whooped on national TV.
And I was team Monique because I wasn't privy to Monique's history.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think I'm team Candace.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm like those people who like won't vote.
You can't, yeah.
Like if I have to choose, then I'm just going to like write in somebody. I'm going to like write in a different housewife. I'm going to put in like, I don't know.
You're like, who's the libertarian housewife? I'll write them in.
I'm going to put in Adrian Maloof. Like I'm not taking Candace's side. But
so I didn't know until later. So when I first watched it, I was like, oh, okay. Like she was definitely being bitchy. I think having been a woman who grew up near the Finger Lake wine region, I know that fight. Neither of them, like that's a fight that happens at the end of a limo wine tour. You're at the fifth vineyard. You guys shouldn't have gone past the third vineyard. And you're fighting about being annoyed with her for being pretty like 3 years earlier. Like they were not, they were just like one day I saw her laugh at me and she probably wasn't even talking about her. And that fight was like about absolutely fucking nothing except they just have been not liking each other. And then they got drunk because both of them were being little bitches.
That's true. I think that is 100% true. It was a fight that didn't need to happen.
Yeah.
And they got drunk. She never forgave her.
Yeah.
It came out. There you go.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's sad for both of them because there's not real meat, at least on the show, that we're being explained to about why this fight happened. It's going to cause a lot of different things for both of them. And it didn't need to happen. And I can't see why it happened.
And also, so, I feel like you said, because there's no actual meat, they're never going to resolve this because there's nothing to resolve. Right. It's just like, I've been annoyed with you.
Right.
So like, unless they both, I do, like when Monique was like, I'm going to call my pastor. I was like, oh, here we go. And then,
not pastor.
And then he showed up and I was like, bitch, he's good. I was like, can I get in with him? Like, I was like, he was like, he called her right out. Cause I think it was like what he said, where he was just like, this is about you and you feel insecure. And maybe Candace made you feel insecure 2 years ago or 3 years ago or whatever. And you've been holding on to that feeling. And Candace is weaker than, let's say, Giselle. So she just like can take it out of Candace.
Yeah.
It was good to hear Monique in that scene express. I thought she expressed remorse for what she had done, which makes her behavior since then even more confusing. It's like she doesn't know what lane to stay in.
Exactly.
No, I think ground was broke and I think it was eye-opening for her. And I do think she was remorseful. But then next week when the charges are pressed, I think it's down. Like when you are about to apologize and then your parents yell at you. So then you just get defensive.
I think that's what it is too. And I mean, the pastor was great.
He was. I was like, oh my God, I thought it was going to be like a bullshit meeting. And I was like, he's helpful.
helpful.
This guy's actually good.
He was good.
I like Chris. No, I just like Chris and they're like, can I play with the other Chris now?
Yeah, right. The husbands are just like, I just got to make sure my bud doesn't think that I'm mad at him. Which I thought was so cute. The husbands are all cute except Ashley's husband. I hate that guy.
Andy.
Yeah. Andy Dean. You know how Dean is? I was like, there's Andy Dean representing every white guy.
Now that we're back on Ashley really quick, can we just please, she knows what she's doing, right?
Yes.
When she said in the confessional, I'm going to slip, what'd she say? I'm going to slip a tracker in Michael's booty hole.
Yeah, she knows. She knows. Yeah. I think she wanted to have two kids and have money. And she knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
And not only that, she said it slid right in.
She's very smart and I like her because she doesn't seem to be even pretending that she's into him, you know what I mean? She's just like, yeah, this is my husband, he does this, oh, he humiliated me, we're gonna have to deal with that. But like, she doesn't seem to be too hurt. She was more like annoyed that he embarrassed her.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I already gave you this whole out. Like, they probably have a sex swing in the basement that they don't use together. And she's just like, bitch, I gave you that dungeon, and now you can't even stay in your little dungeon.
Yeah, it just needs to be wiped down before the next one uses it.
Yeah, like, exactly.
When you worked at the tanning salon in high school.
Yeah, yes.
Michael Darby looks like in the movie The Witches, when the witches drink the soup, but they're not quite rats yet.
He does. You're right. He does. Yeah. He totally does. You're
like,
so
he's mid transition to Rhoda.
Yeah. He's in the middle of melting.
I think Ashley's just like, whatever, because she's like, if he does screw up again, I'm going to get broke off. So, she had no problem like narcotics about. And all that, she's just like, it's whatever now.
She's waiting for that tell-all book as soon as you leave her.
Oh, I'll buy it.
Me too.
we all know that's coming. So what are our final thoughts?
They're my new favorite housewives. I'm gonna be really disappointed if Candace presses charges, but you know, but I've been reading TMZ, so I know what happens.
Spoiler alert.
My final thought is I would like a friend who is a pastor, because I liked how casually Monique said, hi, pastor. Hi, first lady. You know, I want to greet friends that way.
Yeah, I wanted to be the first lady. Like, I was like, oh, that sounds cool.
And she just sat there and listened. It was
I couldn't do that for her, but.
I'm more impressed. This whole time, I thought I couldn't afford therapy. I just need to befriend a pastor.
Honestly, that's what I felt like. I was like, I hope they give him a copay. Like, I was like, he's amazing. I'm like, how can I get into this church?
Well, he gets 10% of their income, and it looks like that's quite a bit.
Yes. Well, so good. They also owe him $25.
I think
sliding scale.
I think he's been paid very well for coming to that house to probably do what he did.
Yeah. Which he deserves every penny.
Right. Every penny. Yeah. I think that my final thought is I'm happy that I feel Karen got closure on her parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know what that's like, but it's something that she's dealt with for a while. So I like that they were able to have her work through that and go home and do that whole thing and show that side of her.
Yeah.
I'd like to see a lot more of things like that from other housewives. Maybe Giselle. Something realistic from Giselle.
Yeah. I want her to break down a little bit, which I don't think she's gonna.
I don't think she will, but like it really made me think that I would like to see that more with some other housewives.
Yeah.
So thank you for being with us, Katie. It was a pleasure. And I'd like to leave you with, we have a lot going on in this country. People are voting, and that's great. Vote as early as you can. But voting is not going to be enough to save our democracy. Know that. Thank you for listening to Know That, a Real Housewives podcast. To stay up to date on future guests and the latest housewife rumors, follow Know That Pod on Instagram.
You can follow me where the cunts are. Just
no, that's a children's book I never heard of.
It's in the back of the library usually. No, you can follow. You can find Pinky Promise Podcast at Pinky Promise Pod, or you can follow me at Katie G Arroyo. Thank you guys so much. This was so fun.
It was great. We'll also do a shout out on our social media to Pinky Promise Podcast, so you guys can listen to them there. It's a great show. And you can follow me at Quentin Lamar on Twitter.
You can follow me, Anthony Casella, at Anthony F. Casella on Instagram.
You can follow me, Donnie, at Real Donniewood on Instagram or Twitter.
And listen, subscribe for free on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.